Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called The Offensive. And this week, Pastor Josh explains that David ran towards his enemy because he knew God was running before him, and that we need to take the giant on for God's glory and people's lives. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Good. Good to see everybody here. I'm so thankful. Looking around, just seeing some new people, seeing some people back from school or back to school and all that. So thankful for you guys and being here. I know we got a bunch of people watching online right now. Do me a favor, just give it up real loud for everybody that's online with us. Glad you guys are with us as well. And if you happen to be new with us, my name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors, and thankful that you're here. Thankful you're tuning in online. Would love to connect with you. So if you're on campus and you're new with us, stop by the Connect Corner. We've got a gift for you. Would love to just introduce ourselves, give you a t-shirt, a coupon for our coffee bar, C3. Would love to help you that way. And then if you're online, just text the word connect to the number that you see scrolling there on the bottom of the screen. If you are new, if you weren't here last week, we launched a series called The Offensive. And the whole idea with The Offensive is how to play offense in life and with your faith. And we talked about this idea of not just playing defense, but being on the offensive. And we talked about it, that we're going to look at David's life. David is a guy from the Bible, and we're going to be looking at his life over the next several weeks. Now, today I'm going to tell you a story that at least I would believe this, everybody in the room, especially if you're a teenager or above, chances are you've at least heard the characters of this story. You might not know the whole story, but you've at least heard the characters. Now, normally I don't say that, and the reason I don't say that is because I know every week we have people that are maybe brand new to church, maybe brand new and investigating a faith walk or who Jesus is. So you'll hear people say at times, well, you've heard that story or you've heard this scripture, and I know that's not always true. But this one, I'm pretty confident everybody has heard of the characters David and Goliath. Yeah? Like, chances are you've heard it. If you've been at church, you've heard it. If you've ever watched a sports, all right? If you've ever watched College Game Day, you've heard the guys on College Game Day saying, this is a David and Goliath type game. And what they mean by that is there's an underdog and a giant. It's when in football, Coastal plays Carolina. It's when the Citadel plays Clemson. It's when Rudy from Notre Dame makes it onto the squad. If you're older like me, it's the 1980 hockey team in the Olympics, all right? Those are underdog-type moments. And so, like I say, chances are you have heard sometimes, somewhere on TV, somebody say, this is a David and Goliath type story. All right, now, that's true that that's what the story is about, that it's about an underdog taking on a giant. But guys, that's only part of the story. Like, it's easy to understand that part of the story, but I want to tell you another part of the story today. I want to tell you really what the story is about, because the story is not about how to be an underdog and take down a giant. The story, for the most part, is about how a little guy believed that God mattered so much to him that he was willing to stand for his big God who was going to take on a little God. All right, now, the first part, when I say it's an underdog taking on a giant, you're like, okay, that makes sense. When I say the second part, you're like, okay, wait, you might have lost me. It's a little guy who believes his God matters so much that he's willing to fight for his God because he knows his big God can whoop a little God's butt. That's another way of saying it, okay? And maybe you understand that a little bit different. Let me just tell you the story, because it'll make it a lot simpler for you. Like, you'll really kind of understand what I'm trying to get at if I just tell you the story, all right? And the story is found in the Bible. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it's a whole chapter, so I'm just going to tell you the story, all right? And here's how the story goes. It says, one day, the Philistine army set up a defense line. They lined up on top of a mountain. All right, they were on top of a valley, on top of a cliff. They were on the high ground. And they took the high ground in a defensive position against the Israelites. All right, now the Israelites are God's people. The Israelites are the people that God has been working with. And the Philistines were like the enemies of the Israelites. They were the enemies of God. All right? And they took this position because they wanted to battle the Israelites. So they were on top of one mountain, and then if you came down that mountain and across the valley and on top of another mountain, that's where the Israelites were. And the Israelites lined up on top of this mountain, and they were in a defensive position. Because in battle, everybody knows if you have the high ground, then you have the preferred ground because it's harder to get attacked against. The problem with that is you have the high ground, but it's still a defensive position because the battle is over there. But the Philistines, they didn't want to leave their high ground. The Israelites weren't willing to leave their high ground, so they're kind of at a standoff. But then one of the Philistine soldiers, honestly, he was probably much more than a soldier. He was called their champion. He was a guy that they had put their faith in, almost like he had become their God, because they followed this guy into battle. And whatever he did, they were like, we're good with that. Their faith was not in their army. Their faith was not in a God, a different kind of God. Their faith was in their God named Goliath. That's the reason I'll call him a little God, all right? They kind of put their faith in him. Now, he wasn't just little, though, okay? Because Goliath, according to the Bible, was just shy of 9 feet tall. Just shy of 9 feet tall. Right now, at this height, I am just shy of 9 feet tall. Only time in my life I've ever been able to say that. But literally, all right? Like right now, I'm just a couple inches shorter than 9 feet tall, all right? So I want you to imagine this was the height of Goliath. This is one big dude, right? And because of his size, because of his stature, because of his battles that he had all won, the Philistine army had put their faith in him. And he was a guy who was basically saying, let me fight on your behalf. Let me lead you to where you need to go. You can just follow me. So Goliath, who's almost 9 feet tall, decked out in all kinds of armor with a spear, with the tip of the spear that was weighed about 15 pounds, he decided to leave the mountaintop and come down to the valley. And when he came down to the valley, he looked at the Israelites and he started to defy them. He started to defy their God. He started to make fun of the Israelites. He started to make fun of the Israelites' God. He said things like this, all right? He said this. He said, I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. That he came down off the mountain, came into the valley, looked at the Israelites and said, I'm going to defy you. Basically what he's saying there is, I'm stronger than you. I have more power than you. I am better than you. I am defying your armies and I'm defying your God. He was ridiculing the God of Israel. And he said, here's what we'll do. Since we can't figure out how to fight this battle, I'll come down into the valley. I'll fight against one of your soldiers. One of you come down as well. And when you come down, we'll battle. And if you beat me, then the Philistines will be the slaves of the Israelites. But if I beat you, then you have to become our slaves. Now, when he said that, we see how the Israelites responded. When Saul, who was the king, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. I want you to try to picture it. I love it when you can kind of picture the Bible. That you got Saul, the king, and his armies up on top of the mountain. And that first day this happens, Goliath comes down. And you can hear him going, whoa, that's a big dude. And then this guy says, I defy you. I defy your God. I'll tell you what, let's fight right now. Send one person down. Who do you think all the Israelites look towards? Saul, their king. Now, I want you to make sure you know this. Saul wasn't a little guy, all right? Saul wasn't a small figure. In the Bible, it actually says that Saul was a foot taller than everybody else in the land. Now, I don't know what the average size of a male was back then. I know today, worldwide, the average height of a male is 5'6". Oh, it gets better. It means I'm taller than the average man in the world. Anyway, I'm standing right now at about 7 foot tall. So you can imagine Saul, if he's a foot taller, a head, it says that he is a head and shoulders above every other man, that he was probably close to 7 foot tall. 7 foot tall is still a giant, in my opinion. When I'm standing up against a 7 foot tall guy, you know what I mean? I'm looking like this. So you've got this tall king that everybody's looking at saying, what are we going to do? And Saul replies or responds by being terrified. His knees are shaking. They don't know what's going on. They're afraid of this giant. And in the midst of that, this happens on this day, and then the giant goes back. The next day, they all take their defensive lines again on top of their mountains, and Goliath comes again and again and again and again. For 40 days, this goes on. And then that's where we get introduced into the story, David. See, David was just a shepherd boy. David was at home with his dad. His dad had sent his three oldest sons off to the war. And his dad looked at David and said, David, the men, they're out fighting against the Philistines. Take them some bread and some cheese. So David grabbed the supplies. He went to the camp of the Israelites, and they were all running out onto the top of the mountain. So David came out, and he stood there. And as he's watching these men, he's like, all right, what's happening? Next thing you know, Goliath comes down. Day 40. 40 days now, this has been going on. And on day 40, Goliath finally comes down the mountain again, and he starts to defy the God of Israel again. And I can just picture it. David's sitting there going, what's going on? Why is this guy running his mouth against our God? How is this happening? Like, is this the first time he's done this? And they say, no, it's actually for 40 days this has been going on. And I can picture David saying, how in the world are you allowing this guy to defy, to ridicule our God? He's not concerned about the army. He's not even concerned about his land at this moment. He is concerned about his God. And he's saying, how do you let this guy make fun and ridicule our God? Somebody needs to do something. What will happen if somebody actually does something? And the soldiers all say, well, you get a wife, you get money, and you don't have to pay taxes, okay? Sounds like a good deal, right? You know what I mean? And David's like, this is crazy. I got to do something. And he causes such a ruckus that the king, Saul, hears about it. And he calls for David. He says, send me this guy who's carrying out a ruckus. I'm sure Saul's thinking, oh, finally, we got a soldier who's willing to step up and to do something. And in walks a little teenager. I love David's words to the king. Don't worry about the Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. I'll go. Like, what's the big deal? This guy, like, come on, let's go. David is like manning up, you know what I mean? And Saul replies like this. He says, don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. It's like Saul's looking at this kid saying, dude, like, you haven't even hit puberty. You got no hair on your chest. You can't win. I cannot put this at stake. I can't put our whole nation and everybody in your hands. But David's like, but I can do it. And Saul's like, but you can't possibly win. It makes me wonder, what made David say, I'll go fight? Like, why would David, on his first day on the mountain, say, I'll go fight them? What got into David's mind where he thought, I can possibly win this war? Why would he even do it? Why would he risk his life? Because God mattered. It's that simple. God mattered so much to David that he said, I'm willing to risk my life. I'm willing to die because I care about my God. And my God is being ridiculed by their God right now. And I'm not going to let a little God, what some people call a big giant, come into my life and into my land and ruin it because I've got a God who is much bigger and I'm going to fight for my God, so I'm willing to die. That's what he was willing to do. So here's the question. Are you willing to go on the offensive for God? Or are you going to stay back there on the defensive? Or maybe a little more pointed question. Are you willing to die for God? Are you willing to sacrifice it all for God? Are you willing to die to yourself for God? And I know some of you right now, you'd be like, ooh, I don't know. That's a hard ask. I know that. It is a tough ask. But if you're not willing to die to yourself and live for God, then what you're actually saying is, I'm willing to allow little gods, big giants, into my life and into my land. And every time that you say, I'm not willing to take a stand for God, then what you're actually doing is you're allowing a little God to get glory that only our God should get. What is that little God? What is that giant that you might have in your life that needs to die, that needs to be cut down, that needs to be gone? Maybe it's a giant of addiction. Maybe that addiction has become like your God, because all things are focused on that addiction. That giant, that little God, needs to be cut out of your life. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you've allowed fear to come into your life. Fear for whatever reason it might be, but fear. And because of fear, your fear now directs every faith step you take in life, rather than your faith in God directing every faith step. And fear actually turns itself into a little God or a big giant in your life. And if we're not willing to die to ourselves, if we're not willing to run into the battle and go against the giant, then what we're doing is we're allowing that little God, that big giant, to live in our life and to rob glory from the God who wants it. So I want you to cut those little giants out, those little gods out. And again, that could be a giant of sexual immorality. It could be a giant of materialism, secularism, atheism. You name it. I could go through a list after list after list after list. What little god, what big giant have you allowed to come in because you're not willing to fight? And you're not willing to allow God to take down a giant. Because see, here's the beauty of it. It's not really you taking down the giant. It's God taking down the giant on your behalf. That's really what it is. Because you recognize God matters. So what I want to do just with this last little bit of time I have, I just want to give you a real practical way for you to be able to step across that line, for you to leave that holy hill, that place that you feel like it's all safe, and go on the offensive and to say, all right, God, I'm going on the offensive for your glory because you matter to me, and because you matter, I'm going to cut down the giants in my life. I'm going to cut down the little gods that I'm allowing to rob glory from you. And you think about them. You think about, what is that little giant, that little God in your life? What is that giant, that little God in your land? You think about it. You list them however you want, but I want you to get them in your mind right now, and then I want you to see how to take them down, all right? The first thing you do is you recognize the threat. Verse 16, every morning and evening for 40 days, the Philistines came forward and took his stand. Now, I want you to remember, day one, Saul and the armies are up here, and Goliath steps down. And when Goliath steps down, I can just picture him doing that, and everybody shaking in fear, and them looking at Saul saying, Saul, what are we going to do? And I imagine if Saul just went, well, let's just give it time. Like, maybe just give it time. Maybe he'll disappear. Maybe he'll get bored. Maybe he'll leave. Well, let's just give it time. Maybe we can find a peaceful solution, and we can all just kind of hang in the land together, and we'll be all right. Like, for some reason, Saul wasn't willing to go forward. Maybe it's because he didn't truly recognize the threat. But I need you to hear this, that when you allow giants into your life, they will not maintain their ground over there. They're going to take ground into your life. Goliath didn't hang out over on this hill and yell from the top of the hill. No, he came down into the valley and he challenged him. And then he went back. When I was studying for this message, I was reading a book by Charles Swindoll, and Charles Swindoll is a very famous pastor and author. He says that every time Goliath came down, he went a little bit closer. And then he went back. And then a little bit closer. And then he went back. And I wonder if on day 35, if he was starting to climb the mountain. Because see, giants don't stay over there. They don't say, oh, I got enough. No, they try to consume it all. And you might say, oh, it's just a little sin. It's not that big of a deal. Well, maybe it's not that big of a deal on day one, but on day two, what is it? And on day three, what is it? And on day four, what is it? By day 40, that little sin becomes a giant sin and destroys your life and invades everybody. You got to recognize the threat. And when you recognize the threat, then you're able to do battle because you can remember the past. Let me explain that. That when David went to Saul, he said, hey, I'll go fight him. And Saul's like, you can't. You're a little boy. He said, listen, I was a little boy out defending the sheep, and a lion attacked, and I ripped open the lion with my bare hands. A bear attacked, and I destroyed the bear with my bare hands. The Lord came and fought for me. And this is what the verse says. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Like, I have seen God move in my past, so I know he'll take care of me in the present. That I don't have to worry because God has shown up in the past. He's going to be here now. And I want you to know, you can look at your past and you can say, man, I saw where God showed up right there. So I'm going to trust him right now. And maybe you don't have a faith walk right now. Maybe you haven't started walking with Jesus yet and you're like, well, I don't even know where to look in my past. Well, let me help you. Talk to somebody to your right and your left. Talk to somebody in front of you or behind you. I look around this room, all right, I see a bunch of people I know, and they can testify to how God has shown up in their past, all right? They can. I know that. I know if you're watching online, there's hosts there. They can testify. I'll tell you what, if you're a host right now, I want you to go ahead and just type in right now a place where God has showed up in your past so those who are watching will know. Because you can look around to people in your life, and they can say, you know what? I remember being on my deathbed, and God showed up. I remember struggling with my finances, and God showed up. I can remember when I didn't know where we were going to eat that night. I didn't know how we were going to put food on the table, but there was food on the table. You can look in your past. You can look into the past of others. You can look in the past of Scripture. Again, this story, for us, all we have to do is look back to this story, and we can say, God, as you showed up in David's life, please show up in my life. God, as you showed up and parted the waters for Moses, part the waters for me. God, as you made the sun stand still for Joshua, make the sun stand still for me. God, as you healed the lame man or the blind man or the deaf man, will you show up in my life and bring a healing in this moment? I can look back at the past of Scripture. I can look back at the past of Jesus on the cross. And I can see how Jesus went to the cross and died for each and every one of us. And the mindset of that tells me because of the past, I know I can have victory in the present. I've got to recognize the threat. I've got to remember the past. And then I've got to realize the battle is the Lord's. See, that's it. It's like, I remember the past, and God, you showed up in the past, so you're going to show up now. Because this is your battle, not necessarily my battle. I'm fighting on your behalf, but it's your battle, not my battle. Now, I love that with David, because when David is up on top of that mountain, and he's talking to Saul, and Saul's like, here, okay, I'll let you fight, but you got to put on my armor. And David starts to put on the armor of a 7-foot-tall guy. And he's like, this ain't going to work. He said, all I need is a sling, a couple rocks, and my God, and we've got it taken care of. And then he starts coming down the hill. And I love it. As he starts to come down, Goliath is already down in the valley. Or maybe Goliath is starting up the hill as well. And Goliath looks at David, a teenager, and says, what am I? You sending out a dog? Like, he just starts making fun of David. He's like, I'm a champion, and you're sending this little boy to fight your battles? You are weak, and your God is weak. And at that moment, David starts talking trash. I think David might possibly be the best trash talker of all time. Like some people my age would say Chris Carter, Deion Sanders, Michael Jordan. We'd mention some guys like that. Those of you who are younger might say OBJ or Baker Mayfield or Conor McGregor. Maybe you say Cam Newton. Guys, those guys have nothing on David. Nothing. Because David stares at a 9-foot giant. And this is what he says. He said, David replied to the Philistine, "You come at me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. You got all your weapons. But I come at you in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." All right? I love that because, again, you got this little David going, "Listen, the Lord is going to conquer you today, and then I'm going to cut off your head. He's going to do the work, and I'm just going to clean up the mess." That's really what it's going to say. God's going to conquer you, and I'm going to do the cleanup work. It's that simple. And then he doesn't stop there. And he says, "Then the birds of the air, they're going to eat your flesh. And they're not even going to be done with you, Goliath." He looks at all the Philistines and says, "And then they're coming after you." David talked trash. Why? Because he knew who the battles was. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord will conquer. I'll just come in for the cleanup work. I witnessed this week at our church. I witnessed people saying the battle belongs to the Lord. You know, we have a discipleship ministry, or you could call it a recovery ministry here at the church called Regen. And what Regen is Regen is a ministry to help people walk out their recovery. Whether that needs to be recovery from alcohol or pornography, drugs, sexual addiction, whatever it might be. It might be recovery from past abuse. It might be recovery from self-harm. It might be recovery from bitterness. It can be recovery from whatever aspect. But the whole idea of recovery is this: until I recognize new life in Christ and let Christ fight my battles, I can't win. You can have small victories without outside of Christ. You can, but you're not going to have permanent victories. That I've got to have new life in Christ. And when I have new life in Christ and I allow Christ to fight my battles, then I can be victorious. Then I can win against those giants. And on Tuesday night, I watched 15 people walk across this stage celebrating a year of recovery in their life. All right? It was incredible. But each one of them would say it's all because of new life in Christ and allowing him to fight on my behalf. So if you want to take down the giants in your life, then what you've got to do is you've got to recognize the threat. You've got to remember your past. You've got to realize that the battle is the Lord's. And then lastly, you got to run out the giants. You got to run out the giants. What I love about David is he's up on this hill and he starts running down the mountain. He leaves the little holy hill where all of God's people are and he leaves it and he starts running towards that giant. And as he's running towards that giant, he knows the battle belongs to the Lord. And some people would say, well, when you're running towards your giant, towards your enemies, maybe you're running away from God. Absolutely not. Because when you recognize the battle belongs to the Lord, where is the Lord? He's in front of you. And when I'm running towards my giants to get the giants out of the land, I recognize I got the biggest, baddest offensive lineman in front of me clearing the path. And then all I've got to do is, as any good running back will do who's got a pulling guard or somebody running a field, is I put my hand on their shoulder and say, "Let's go, baby. Let's just go." And I will let him do all the work because Jesus will take out the giants. And when Jesus takes out the giants, then you can run behind him. And that's the reason I say quit playing defense and start playing offense for God and against your giants. So with that in mind, let's go into a time of response and let's really talk about this. Are you willing to get the giants out of your life and out of your land? Not just because you want them out, but because you realize they're stealing glory from God. That's the point. Because they're stealing glory from God. And I don't want anything to be in your life that steals glory from God. I don't want anything to be in my life that steals glory from God. So if that's the case, then I got to recognize that threat. That sin that comes into my life. That sin that comes into my land. I got to recognize that threat. I got to remember my past and realize in the present that the battle is his, and then simply run behind him. And that's what I want you to do right now. Is maybe right now is an opportunity for you to say, I'm going to go on the offensive. Maybe right now is a great opportunity for you to say, I'm going to get the giants out of my life and out of my land by turning it over to Christ. Because there's giants that still need to be slain. There's giants that still need to fall. There's giants that still need to be knocked down in my life and in my land. So I need to do everything I can to get the giants out for the glory of God. The giants are still being slain. That dead things are still being raised. I want you to think about this. Every time somebody commits their life to Christ, that means that you're going from death to life. So when I go from death to life, a giant is being slain, and that is Satan. That he is being knocked down. And I want that for all of us today. Is I want us to take a step of response and move towards God and move with God against the giants in our life and in our land. So I want to challenge you to do that. Maybe it's going to be by taking communion. Maybe it'll be by going to the prayer corner. Maybe you need to pray with somebody about receiving Christ. I'll be there. There'll be some others right at the Connect corner. Maybe it's taking a step of baptism. Today is the day to allow the giants to fall. By running on the offensive with God and for God. So we do it. We allow a giant to fall. We allow a giant to be slain. We allow life to be raised. Because he's still in that movement. He's still in that world. He still has that desire. So do me a favor. Let's stand up. We're going to respond here in just a second. But as we do this, I want to challenge you. Let God knock down those giants. Let him knock down those giants.
Mountains are still being
let life come into your soul.
Strongholds still being
loose. And see giants fall. Because he is still in the business of slaying giants. And he is still in the business of raising dead things to life. And if you need that, now's the time. Let's sing this song. Let's respond to God.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.